I meet this lady who became like my mentor in campus, and she was just like a mother, you know, just overly concerned about me. And I'll mention something that she taught me or trained me at that point. And so she asked me, what project do you want to do as Miss KU? And I came up with this idea of I wanted to go help girls in Samburu, you know, to go to school instead of getting married early and all that. And I remember she calmly told me, "Sweetie, that's a really nice idea. It's brilliant. I mean, it's commendable. It's noble." Then she said, "But it's not doable. You know, you have to be able to have something. Think about it. When will you be in class and when will you be in Samburu? You know, how will you be able to do that?" And she was trying. At that point, she taught me a valuable lesson of, you started this thing by asking God. Why don't you ask him what he wants you to do, rather than just picking up an idea of something that you want to do? So that reminder, again, like I said, surrounding yourself with people who, you would know this, it's people who you have told, God told me. And then they say, okay, so the one who told you, make sure that you're building on that rather than taking away from it because of introducing flesh or introducing your own concept of what this thing is about. And that's what Esther's mistake was. Because the minute she got into that position, she forgot. She probably now started getting used to the perfumes and the treatments of being queen, and forgot the reason why, until Mordecai, someone that God used, came to her and triggered her to remember, by the way, God is the one who put you here, and the reason he put you here those many years ago has come. And so you have to awake to the reason why he brought you, and then get with the program as opposed to being consumed by your own process and comfort.
So do you figure out what it is? So does that send you back to God to then be like,
it did.
You know what I love about your life, and I just like, it's, I'm loving it. Your story should be every human being's norm story.
Yeah.
Those who subscribe to the faith.
Yeah.
Whatever God you subscribe to, you should be constantly going back to him to give you the instructions. And if he is truly God, he will speak to you because he loves you.
Yeah.
So you went back to God for God to be like, okay, God, what happens? Why did you make me Miss Tourism? I mean, Miss
KU. KU at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I go to God and he points me to the story of Esther in relation to the nation. Remember, he had begun to build this desire, this fire in me about the nation. So I remember at that point, God puts it in my heart to do a 21-day prayer for the nation on radio. Now, first of all, okay, of course I was involved in, you know, the industry in a way. I got to know you guys and a few other artists and all that. But I was like, this is not me. And this is now towards, I had sort of like walked with God for a while. And this is now towards now.
Your end of KU.
The end of KU and all that. So at that point, I'm thinking about that picture of praying for the nation. And then he introduces the Miss Tourism or Miss Kenya at the time. So I've just finished one pageant. It's been a year later and I've worked with him and all that. Then I'm introduced to this Miss Kenya thing and I'm like, okay, this is a larger platform. And again, God uses someone to actually push me into that pageant. And I knew that it was him now because I had built a pattern of checking with him. Now, Miss Kenya was a bigger platform. It was a different ball game altogether. And I knew that there's something that he was fine-tuning in me in terms of my work with him. Now, this is campus. You become like a celebrity in campus, but then now you're being thrust into the limelight in terms of the national stage. And at this point, I go through the process again. By this time, of course, church had warmed up to the idea of me modeling. I had done a few endorsements here and there, adverts and all that stuff.
Like, for who had you done adverts for?
Well, I was a good girl. So hot chocolate, you know, things that are normal, like outfits, just different things at the time.
But why I'm asking that is because now you start making money.
Yes, okay, there were offers for me to do certain kinds of endorsements, but like I said, because of the practice of checking with God, even the thing that was obvious, he would say no. So I would let go of it without understanding why he would say no. So again, because of that practice, especially now after I became Miss Tourism, which was the same pageant as Miss Kenya, but I got to number two, and I'll speak about that in a moment. It was a beautiful learning experience because you're getting attention, but at the same time there's another restriction on you, and the restriction is God. The same person who told you get into this thing is the one telling you, okay, this one you'll go farther, but this one you won't get involved in, etc. So again, is, still this, building my walk with God.
So this is when you're Miss KU. Of course, now you start getting opportunities for endorsements, this, that, the other.
So Miss KU was 2005. Uh-huh. And then now, towards the end of 2006 into 2007 is when now I did the Miss Kenya, because it's a long process.
You go through
trainings and all that stuff. And then at the mid of 2007 is when now I became a Miss Tourism.
Okay, let's then talk about this season. In terms of just the pageant, because now this is, you're saying you're being thrust from a community level, being KU, into a national level, being competing against other people in Kenya.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that was exciting for me. Again, like, because I had the practice of walking with God, you know, ideas of the outfits, ideas of who to collaborate with and all that stuff. So I remember I was so sure I was going to be Miss Kenya. So sure. Like, it was such a close tie. The thing that I knew, like, separated me from the person who won was the answer that I gave. Like, I was the second last person to answer, she was the last person to answer. So the answer that I gave was what I had already, like, meditated on, I had seen in my mind to answer. But the minute she came, she topped it up and just, like, said something so beautifully with me. I was like, drat, I should have thought of that, you know? And when now it was announced, because of... Remember, I had now become so consumed by this process. Mm. For some reason, I really wanted to win. Mm. When I became number two, it was such a heartbreak for me. It actually destabilized me for a while, almost like I didn't know, because I knew it was a God process. You know, the way you start assuming things, like when Moses was sent into Egypt to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But you go there with the mentality of, I'll go say he will release us. Mm. And God tells you, not yet. So he goes in and... Pharaoh actually, God literally hardens his heart, and he has to go through another longer process of knowing God. But it was to build him in a way that we get to now read later that Moses knew his ways, but the children just knew the acts of God. But it was because of that process of walking with God and not just the magic of, I say it happens exactly as he said. So my process of the whole Miss Kenya experience sort of like threw me back to, okay, how did I not get it? Because for some reason it became the thing that I wanted in my mind. Again, perhaps God saw, your heart has gone another direction. This is not the plan. Whatever the reason is, and I know the reason now, and I'll say it much later, but it was a beautiful, a hard experience at the time. But now looking back, I'm like, God actually restrained me from something getting to my head, for me thinking that now I have attained to a certain level. Mm-hmm. But there, I was honestly disappointed when I didn't get it. Yeah.
So what happens now? Because now number two was going to be named Miss Tourism. Was it like that, or was that a position that was created just because they're like, no, we need to give this number two something?
No, you remember this is 2007 into 2008. Uh-huh. So there was a, because of the selection balance, some pageants hadn't happened, so they combined all of them.
Uh-huh.
And now they were under one franchise. So in that year, they combined all of them. They actually combined three pageants. So number three became Miss Commonwealth or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So I became number two, and that's how I got Miss Tourism.
So I've got now some real questions. Does that, unfortunately, the placement of Miss Kenya, Miss Tourism, Miss Commonwealth has a sex symbol attachment to it from the public perception? Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which is wrong. But does that now thrust a certain kind of phone calls? I remember when I interviewed Boniface Mwangi, he said as soon as he put people on the Pulse cover girls, MPs, MCAs, everybody is calling and asking for that girl's number. This is national level you're being thrust to as a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Even it can be as a beautiful woman who is of God, and it's now a nice guy deciding that's my wife.
Yeah.
Run after, get after. What happens now with that? Or does that happen?
It happened a lot. And like I said, if I wasn't prepared, first of all, if it was my first pageant, I'd be like in, you know, another world altogether. And then secondly, if I hadn't been grounded, because by this time you can tell that I had had such a deep walk with God. And the constant reminder, this has nothing to do with you. And I think for me, getting number two was also a reminder of...
A reality check.
Take a step back and figure out what God is actually doing with you. It has nothing to do with all these things that you think it has. It's about in terms of the pageant and all that. There's something that God is doing. And it's a journey. It's not a destination. So it did actually refresh my mind to to remember what's important. And at the same time, there was something else that was happening with me, because I had just now finished campus. And there was another whole story that was going on with me at the time, because I had, maybe I can go into it right now.
Yeah, you can go into it.
So,
and then you answer the question of what do you do to block. I'm just thinking of somebody.
What do I do to block?
Oh, no, somebody who may be in your situation.
Yeah.
Like now you're, phone call. Hi, am I speaking to seller? Oh, I just want to come and pick you up and take you to Dubai for shopping. With the world that we live in right now, you're laughing, but
my sister is laughing.
It's crazy. That's the world that we live in right now. Put a few Instagram photos up. Suddenly, a man with money picks up the phone, calls you. Yeah. Yours was, how did you maintain this soberness, or did you maintain it? And if you fail, how did you get back up?
Yeah. So let me answer by addressing it with what you just said about social media as well. There's a way, a combination of my walk with God, a combination of my parents, and a combination of a real experience with God revealed to me that what you place value on is either something that is passing with time or something that will remain. So for example, like I said, you cannot be tempted of what you outside of what you already desire. So guarding your desires is actually very important. Now, at the time, I didn't know this, of course, extent of this wisdom of being able to choose what you allow in your life, etc. But the pressure for me, one of the things that helped me was the pressure from church, because I was already put on a pedestal. I was already, like I said, the five of us at the time, the ones we used to sing together, there was pressure for us to sort of like create the model that other people would follow. So the things that you would deliberately cut off, because you know here, you'll be killed in church, you'll be killed at home, you'll be killed by the pastors who support you. So you just choose an easier pathway because of that. Yeah. But the second thing I would like to say is that for me, I feel like God fungan my eyes from seeing certain things or from experiencing. And then the value that you place on yourself also determines what you allow. For example, if a guy comes up to you, and this is now for the younger girls, if a guy comes up to you, he's already judged you and graded you.
Yes.
You know the way on Twitter they say she's a 10, but, you know, there's always that scale that they've put on you. Now, you're the one to confirm what they're thinking of you by responding how they expect you to respond, or you raise your game to the point that the skill doesn't matter, as in I can't fit into your skill because I'm above that. So the value you hold of yourself actually determines how people respond to you. Even if they come to you with a wrong perception, the immediate response you give already determines the direction of that thing, whether it will go on or not go on. So there are many tricks of how to go about it. And then I think in our day, I mean, for right now, rather, I think this generation is dealing with a lot more things, especially because of social media. And for me, luckily, I didn't place that. In fact, I only came back to social media recently because of my another process with God, which we'll get to. Yeah. But I've never been one to, like I said, wait for people to validate me.
Okay.
In terms, especially my peers or what people consider to be important. Because the minute you do that, they will clap you into a position and they will tear you down the next minute. So I would say deflate that whole thing of whatever the man or the guy has placed as a value on you. You determine your value and then work for yourself. You know, work, determine your own value by having your own stuff or building your own value, as opposed to waiting for someone else to build. Because the reason why he's taking you to Dubai, for example, is because he thinks that that's what your price is.
Yeah. But on the other hand, and I know it sounds like trivial stuff that I'm dwelling on, but I'm just thinking of people in that situation. And it's not every day we get somebody like you on this seat who has experienced and has wisdom and has come out on the other side better.
Yeah.
Another element that, unfortunately, being thrust into the limelight, let's even remove the beauty perspective out. I'm talking about now proper guys who love God, who are coming and being like, I've decided on this one. She's the one. She's throwing all the characters of a woman that I would want, which is attractive to any man in terms of the values and the way you'd carry yourself. So now people, even it's not, they're not trying to they are genuinely nice guys trying to do, to just to get you, I'm going to say acquire.
Acquire.
Right.
Property.
Wrong word, forgive me, ladies. You get, are you understanding?
Okay, so I guess what you're asking is, how did I handle guys who are genuinely interested in me, and even if, let's say, for example, they were in the setting of church or whatever
yes.
it is, right? Do you remember the time when I told you that I invested quite a bit of time in prayer?
Yeah.
When I was not ready for marriage, for example, but I invested quite a bit of time in prayer because I knew that this is a make or break for me. And I had a lot of what I like to call close calls, you know, like guys who you're sure for sure, you know, like this guy I'm really into. But the thing, the trick that I used to use, even with my girlfriends, I'd call them like, Ebukam, there's a guy who I'm completely confused because of him.
Ah, that's great. Okay, you're not a robot. Thank God. I mean, that's
yeah, I'd just be completely gone, you know, yes. not able to think, function, etc. But the thing that I used to do is, regardless of that, I would go and cry before God and say how, in fact, I would use that scripture of the heart is desperately wicked above all things. Because I knew that it's very easy to love something, to desire something, and it not be God. And you even start hearing voices telling you that that is God.
Okay.
So the reason I'd bring someone else is because I'd tell them the truth. You know, I'd tell them the truth of this is why I like the guy, this is my situation, but please, you know me, pray with me. And there are many times, and this is what I was saying at the beginning, we think that God is disinterested in us or disinterested in our success or in our fruitfulness, but in actual sense, he's not. He is more invested and interested than we are.
Mm.
So the moment I'd pray, like I remember this one, not once, not twice, but let me use this particular example, a guy that I was really into. And I remember I knew that this one, if God does not intervene, but it's a done deal, it's sealed forever.
Mm-hmm. Was it a mutual? Was it mutual? Was
oh,
it
yeah.
Also? Oh.
I mean, what do you expect? But that made it harder because it's easier to like a guy who didn't like you and you're like, maybe I had God wrong. But this is now, you know, more complicated. So